Well, this morning, we're going to begin a nine-part look at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And that'll bring us into Advent, which, again, weirds me out a little bit, but I'm looking forward to it. Oh, dear, I'm sorry. Doggone it. Who's texting me? Somebody did. My daughter. Sorry about that. But, let's read Matthew chapter 5 together. And I don't have them in front of me, so I'm going to stand right down here.
All right. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
That's God's word. These are good words, and we are going to sit in them for 9 weeks. Now, it may seem like a lot, but I will just encourage you to really soak in what these words are saying and what they mean. Now, my jumping off point, my thinking on concentrating on this came from this little book called What If Jesus Was Serious? It's a look at the Sermon on the Mount. That's a great question, by the way. As you read God's word, if you think about some of the things that are in there, and sometimes it's easy to gloss over. Did God really mean? Isn't that what Satan tried to tell Jesus in the wilderness? Did God really? You know, sometimes, and the book mentions this, that in our culture, in our world, as we struggle to really figure out what it is to be Christian in a world like today. And this has been the question through the ages. Now, some folks would say that, you know, as the culture looks upon Christianity, that we need to try to make things palatable, to make Christianity attractive to folks. And there's a cause for that. I mean, there are folks out there in history who have made Christianity very unattractive for wrong reasons. You know, and so we accommodate. But Mr. Jatani, in his book, argues, he wonders if maybe the issue isn't that we're being not serious enough, but maybe we should be a little more serious about what Jesus said. And so that's what we want to look at as we consider these words of Jesus and his teachings. Now, I would like to maybe encourage or challenge you to something as we steep ourselves like a tea in these words. It's 12 verses, and I would encourage you maybe to try to memorize them. As strong as I can, you know, without being a Pharisee to y'all, okay, I would encourage you to try. You know, we're going to read them every week. I took it upon myself. I've memorized these before, and so I switched versions. I went to the NIV up to ESV, which is very similar, you know. But it challenged me enough to make me think about it a little bit, and just to really have these things going through your head more and more and more. And so, if you start memorizing a verse or two each week or whatever, let me know. I'd be very encouraged by that. And let's try to do these together. Okay, so to start with, question one, as we look at these words in Matthew. Who are the blessed? Okay. We have several times when Jesus is saying blessed or happy or content. Who are these blessed ones? And it gives this list. And as we ask that question then, I think another question we'll want to answer then is, okay, if these are the blessed, then how do we get that? How is it measured? How can we take part in being blessed? Because, hey, who doesn't want to be blessed, right? Everyone wants to be blessed. Now, when we think of what it is to be blessed, there's several ways to think about it. Now, we may think it broadly in things like, even as I mentioned this morning, we are blessed people financially. Maybe we could look at that. How much money we have, or the things we have, our homes, the size of the home, the cars, the number of cars, the clothes you wear. And it doesn't necessarily have to be grotesquely ostentatious, but we can think of blessings in that way. Assets, good jobs, successful career. They've been really blessed. Maybe a good family. You found a wonderful spouse. You have great children. They grow up. They're healthy. We're healthy, so we're blessed. Now, and that's a very common. You ask anybody around, they'll probably say something like that as they think about what it is to be blessed. And those things are largely external, maybe largely physical in nature. And as we read these words in Matthew, we may are thinking more along spiritual lines, right? So we may think of things like being blessed is to be saved, to be forgiven, to have peace with God, to have hope or purpose, to have inner peace, maybe enlightenment, knowledge, wisdom, to know God, and maybe a more of an inward focused on spiritual things. And that's fine. Now, the problem that people in Jesus' time are going through and people here are going through is that when religious folk it's very easy to read God's word and maybe conflate or put together these kinds of blessings. And another problem in that is that we make external things a reflection or a sign of the internal. All right? So we would look at people who are successful, or they're rich, or they're healthy, or the relationships are stable, and say God is blessing them. And then the corollary, the opposite would be then if we look at folks who their lives are falling apart, or they're not healthy, or their jobs, they're poor, or whatever it may be, those kind of things, and we say, oh, wow, why isn't God blessing them? Because the sign of the blessing is the external. And that's a problem. We look at blessing as the haves and the have-nots. And it comes, I think, from a mistake that we have in reading the Bible. We have to be careful when we read God's word. And, I've been talking about this all through Acts, right? And reading narrative and how to understand and apply it, right? And a mistake that we often make is taking particular things, a particular situation or particular situation, and try to draw it out as a universal thing. Okay, so something like when Jesus calls Peter to be his disciple, right? He says, Peter, I want you to follow me. And Peter drops his, leaves his job, leaves his family, and takes off after Jesus. And so we think, oh, well, that's the example for us too then, right? You follow Jesus, we make that the universal principle. But then in Scripture, there are times when Jesus told people to go home, right? There's a guy who says, I want to follow you. He says, no, you go back to your people, whatever. See, so we have to be careful to not put universal properties upon things that may be just a particular situation. Another way to think about it is the idea of a description versus a prescription. Describing something that's happening, or is it an example or a command? And we have to be careful of how we look at those kind of things as we think about blessing. Because we look at these Beatitudes. Look at it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. To those who know their need of God. What's a good thing, isn't it? Blessed are those who mourn. Those who have a clear-sighted understanding of suffering and its place in the world. Blessed are the meek, that they're dependent upon God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This desire, this hunger, this drive to see God's will done. Blessed are the merciful, a dependence upon God's mercy, and then an understanding that an ability to open our hands and open ourselves up to others in mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, that quality of inner life, peace with God. Blessed are the peacemakers, that ability to love our enemies, to really love them, to not resolve conflicts and problems with violence, but to seek him, not in anger. And blessed are the persecuted. This desire to honor Jesus in our very with our very lives, if that's what he asks of us. And so we have a nice list here of characteristics, of qualities, maybe, of a Christian, right? But what's the problem? What could be the problem? The problem with lists is that, well, anybody can check off a list, right? Anybody could try to do these things. And for the Christian, for the follower of Christ, the main thing is never, the main thing, now again, not totally, but the main thing is never the doing. It's the being. It's understanding what Christ has done, not what we have done. Anybody can be very sincere. Anybody can look good. All right? There are folk out there who look great and have no inner understanding. And that is the problem we can have when looking at something even like the Beatitudes. And I think there's two things that we can kind of look at this like. Now, if you have a Bible, you want to look. Turn to Luke chapter 13. And a couple of problems that are brought forth. Oh, by the way, new Bible. Yeah. Smells good. Has large print. So, okay, Luke chapter 13. And starting at verse 22, Jesus teaching. And he was passing through one city and village after another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin standing outside and knocking on the door, saying, Lord, open up us to us. And he then will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will say, begin saying, but we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And yet he will say, I do not know where you are from. Leave me, all you evildoers. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they'll come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table of the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. Now do you see the issue here? We see first Jesus saying strive, but then the example he gives is one of people coming to the door who say, we know you. You know us. It's the external. It's an external adherence to something and can lead to false assumptions. Okay? Someone could go to church, be raised in church their whole life, and assume that they're right with God. Someone could, you know, again, go down a list, the Beatitudes, and work hard at expressing these things, and they check their anger, and they don't lose their temper, and they do the right stuff, and yet not really know Jesus. That is the problem. When we try to make lists, we try to make the external what's important. If you remember the story in 1 Samuel, when they were looking to choose a king after Saul, you remember Samuel saw one of the brothers, David's brothers, and said, surely this guy is a king, right? This is the one who's the king. And he's tall, strong, burly. That's a king. And what did the Lord say? He said, no, the Lord looks on the heart. It's on the heart. God is not concerned by the externals. It is always the heart. And here there's a theologian, his name's Samuel, what was his name? Hauerwas. And he puts it this way, and this is good. Think about this. Too often these characteristics of the Beatitudes are turned into ideals we must strive to attain. As the ideals, they can become formulas for power or influence rather than a description of the kinds of people characteristic of the New Age brought by Christ. Thus, Jesus does not tell us that we should try to become poor in spirit, or try to become meek, or try to be peacemakers, although it's not a bad thing. He simply says that many who are called into the kingdom will find themselves so constituted. Are you seeing the subtlety here? It is a subtle thing because, well, the heart is a subtle thing, isn't it? The heart can be deceitful, and we may struggle and try and yet miss out. And it puts us in a bind. See, that's the problem here. We're in a bind sometimes. How do we discern our hearts? I mean, out of good intention, because I love Jesus, and so I try to be a peacemaker. You know, if I find myself, oh no, that's a good thing, right? That's the Spirit working and convicting us and telling us to do certain things, not do certain things. And yet the bind can be in so much in the spirit of religiosity, we make those things what we rely on. How do we know? What do we do? How can you say right now without a doubt in your hearts right now, I am saved. I am in the kingdom of God. I know my destiny. How do you know? It's the gospel. It has to come back to the gospel, the kingdom of God, to grace. A heart is changed by God, period. You know, we see that picture in Ezekiel 11, right? I will take your heart of stone and I will make it a heart of flesh. It's a work of God. And so any effort we do, anything we try, the work we do, if we make that what's important, we are deceived. But when we allow God, when we understand truly that is nothing that I do, that it is grace, then things are in order. The horse has to be before the cart, so to speak. Why then are there, the problem then, and the reason that we have to be careful in looking at something like the Beatitudes as a list of things to do as externals is that it's very difficult, and Jesus tells us this, that it's difficult for those who are well off to truly submit to God. That's just an easy thing, right? If things are going good, when do people cry out to God? When do people really want to see God? It's when things are going wrong. You know, they're hanging off the edge of a cliff. Okay, Lord, I need you now. That is the difficulty we have to face when we look at lists and things and the externals. Sky Dachani puts it this way, as we think about who is really blessed or what is the blessed. Where am I here? Oops, sorry. He puts it this way. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, these Beatitudes, should not be a to-do list. It's a good news list. Jesus is describing who has the most to gain by the arrival of his kingdom. He's not prescribing what you must do to enter it. Again, now there's subtleties here. We're not saying that, okay, I'm not going to be merciful. I'm not going to be meek. I don't want to be pure in heart. No. Don't throw that away. But in your hearts, are you seeking to do the good things so that you're okay? Or because of what Christ has done and acknowledged, are you so okay that you can do these things? Or you can live in these things? Or you can... You know, again, I'm not seeking to be crushed or hurt or persecuted or that kind of things. But there is a reality in our world when these things are going to be. We are going to mourn sometimes. And how we mourn is important. We do want to be meek and humble before God. We do want to be peacemakers. We do want to be pure in heart. But don't make that what you base your life on. If you do, you have missed it. That is not the gospel. External success or lack thereof is not a clear sign of God's blessing or lack of it. I got so annoyed a couple days ago. I was reading an article about a televangelist, someone, and he was helping out another televangelist in raising money to buy a private jet. And the guy says, you know what's holding Jesus from coming back? You know why he's not coming back right now? Because we are not generous enough. If you gave right now, Jesus would say, oh, look at them, I'm coming now. I just want to throw up. It's external. It says, if God has blessed you, he's bragging about it. He said, a guy asked him, he says, hey, how is it you can be a Christian and a millionaire? And he says, millionaire, please. Multi-millionaire. Ha, ha, ha. You know, just so arrogant. And again, they see that as a sign of God's blessing. But this is not the way it is. Jesus' kingdom is the opposite of that. It's upside down completely. And as we look at others, we say, oh, boy, what has God done to them? Or God to them? You know, we have to include these. we cannot take our personal comfort as a sign of God's favor necessarily. Secondly, I think the characteristics of the Beatitudes, of how to enter the kingdom of God, they don't tell us how to enter the kingdom of God, but they describe those who have the most to gain over time and have accepted the grace of God. And in understanding it and looking at it in this different way, a little bit, and getting, again, the cart before the horse, it allows us, as followers of Jesus, to be at true peace and to be content in whatever circumstances are. So that's not the point, I think, here. He's just showing us, you are blessed. If you're mourning, you are blessed. If the world is falling out around you, you are blessed. Because our heart is blessed. The external has nothing to do. And you can see what a message of hope that is. Because there's a lot of folk out there who are struggling, who are oppressed, who are hurting physically, mentally, relationally. And this is the message, to know that even though they may be in this circumstance, they can be truly blessed. That is the message we want to put forth to people. Not that you have to attain a status or a level of financial security or anything like that. Not that you have to work hard and just stick to it. That's the American civil religion, right? Up on my own bootstraps, and I'm just going to do it. And with me and God, we're going to be okay. No. The gospel tells us Jesus is the way. By grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. So the challenge we have then is, again, how do we know our hearts? And at the end of the day, it's humbly considering, asking God by His Spirit to work in us. And I pray that we would do that together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. Your Word is a light into our path. We're grateful for it. Help us, Lord, as we seek Your kingdom, as we want and desire to know You and to be Your people, to fight that natural tendency to make lists, to look good, and maybe not even necessarily be good. For we, Lord, we know You are good. And we know that by Your grace and only that can we be saved. And we cry out to You in that. So I thank You for it. And we ask, God, that You would indeed bless us. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Go with God's blessing this week.